You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
This is a blow against pro-life movement, the Trump administration, everyone who believes in the sanctity of life. All lives matter. And yes, black lives matter while they're not yet born. Go ahead and abort. That's genocide. Supreme Court ruling 5-4. With Chief Justice John Roberts once again casting a deciding vote, siding with the court's liberal justices. You note I don't refer to Chief Justice John Roberts as a conservative. I just say Chief Justice John Roberts. He was, of course, the one that got the deciding vote on Obamacare that kept that in play and finding a really quirky way to keep it alive. But now the Supreme Court 5-4 striking down a Louisiana law on abortion clinic restrictions. The whole idea of this law in Louisiana, and it's in place in other cities and states, I should say, as well. In fact, very similar to Texas law, which in 2016 the court ruled was unconstitutional, stating that if you're going to perform, anyone who's going to perform an abortion at a clinic, you need admitting privileges in a nearby hospital. So if something goes wrong with this patient, you can go with them to the hospital. Now, I hear everyone about this abortion thing and women's lives and women's rights to their own body and everything. So they don't really care if the person that performs the abortion, if it goes wrong, they can't help get you to the hospital and continue to care for you. Because that's what this law does. The Louisiana law was going to demand that they be available and have access to the hospitals. So the latest numbers worldwide show the latest death toll of COVID-19, more than 500,000 across the world. Last U.S. confirmed death count, 125,000. And we have more, of course, that are going to pass. But we also have many more being found to have the COVID-19, but they're going to be just fine. Yet, Governor Andrew Cuomo now saying, I'm thinking about postponing reopening of indoor dining in retail malls in New York City. They were hoping to reopen at least 50% capacity by July 6th. They can dine outside, but they can't go in. And now the governor is saying, you know what? We may have to hold off. Great to be in New York, right? And, of course, you also have to face death in Chicago, especially if you're a minority and living in some of those areas. This last weekend, more than 60 shot, 16 of them dead, one including a one-year-old boy. Chicago, no longer the Windy City, the Shooting City. In Seattle, the latest effort to move CHOP out, stalling out, and they've had another case of violence inside the CHOP zone. Another shooting. In this case, another death. And another left in critical condition. And they're still not being moved out. We do get word that more than six dozen alleged rioters are facing federal charges because of unrest across the U.S. Those who were taking down statues, federal statues, they got caught on video. They're going to go after them. Good. You know what's happening in New York City? Because police are under constant attack and being questioned and charged with sometimes legit, but many times now just ban all cops, get rid of them. 49% spike in officers filing for retirement. 49, that's percent, that's 270 officers. Who's going to replace them? Who wants to stand out there and take that dangerous position? President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, sending out an email blast yesterday urging everybody, you need to donate money to fight voter suppression. Advocate vote by mail, early voting, and online voter registration. You need to do that. And Texas Governor Dan Patrick says this is just another effort to steal the election from Trump. And in case you missed it, Iran is issuing an arrest warrant for Donald Trump over that drone strike that killed Soleimani, one of their top terrorist activists. And in case you missed it, Cam Newton may have a job. New England Patriots signing Cam Newton to a $1 million a year contract for 1 year. Could earn up to $7.5 million with incentives. So Cam Newton apparently will now be with the New England Patriots. We'll see how that plays out, right?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi where I don't want to be.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Black Lives Matter is disingenuous. Why? Because there's only certain black lives that they care about. What about that retired black officer, David Dorn? Black man, murdered, defending a business. I didn't see black lives there. I didn't see Al Sharpton there. It's certain blacks that they care about to profiteer the black community.
That is a very bold, direct, candid, and factual statement by Leo Terrell, a black man, civil rights attorney for 30 years, appearing on the Mark Levin program, saying Black Lives Matter ignores. They don't want to do anything unless they could profiteer from it. We're seeing more and more black Americans come up and denounce Black Lives Matter. And I'm glad, because they know the fact. They know what's happening in their own communities, and they don't see Black Lives Matter coming in when they have all these deaths and so forth. I just told you in news and commentary that we've had in Chicago this last weekend another violent weekend, 15 dead, including a one-year-old. 15 dead. That's 60 shootings. And 15 of them dying, including a one-year-old boy. One group made up of local business owners that offered a $25,000 reward to lead to the shooter of that one-year-old boy. They have a new group called I'm Telling Don't Shoot. $25,000. I'm not sure they'll get anybody that will be named. And, of course, remember the preceding weekend, over Father's Day weekend, they had another big death count, and that included a 3-year-old boy riding in a car with his father. His father was apparently a target of a gang shooting. Whether or not the father was involved in any gang activity, I don't have the facts on that. It may have been a case of mistaken identity. All I know is a 3-year-old boy shot to death in his father's car. And a 13-year-old girl the same weekend dancing in her own home with her mother, struck by a bullet, dying in her mother's arms, holding one hand to her neck and the other one reaching for her mother. Oh, by the way, I shouldn't say by the way, I certainly don't mean to be dismissive like that, but it's just, it reached a point where you think, why is no one really making a bigger story out of this, especially with Black Lives Matter? Another of the victims over this last weekend was a 10-year-old girl. She was inside a home, her uncle's home. Preliminary information says a group of men, males, young thugs, shooting at each other on the block, and one of the bullets takes her life. Mayor Lori Lightfoot said on a Twitter account, "The pain of losing a child never goes away. As a mother, I'm tired of the funerals. I'm tired of burying our children." And the police chief says, "This is just terrible. It continues over and over again." Well, what are you going to do about it? And where are the Black Lives Matter protesters getting out there and saying, "We stop this"? As Leo Terrell said, they're only come out if it's going to get them a profit, get them headlines. And right behind them, you'll see Al Sharpton. And in the midst of all of this, violence, not only in Chicago, but New York and other places, you've got folks calling out to defund police, take money from the police, or get rid of them entirely. Again, the words of Leo Terrell.
And then you have the ultimate insult of talking about defunding the police. I want everyone to know that I have a sister in law enforcement. And I may criticize bad police officer because, Mark, 97-98% of the officers are great. They protect you and I at 2 and 3 in the morning. At 2 or 3%, like the George Floyd situation, horrible. But my goodness, to defund the police, to take away law and order, and then you have this unbelievable situation where the Democrats will not criticize Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is disingenuous. Why? Because there's only certain black lives that they care about. What about that retired black officer, David Dorn? Black man, murdered, defending a business. I didn't see black lives there. I didn't see Al Sharpton there. It's certain blacks that they care about to profiteer the black community.
The Dorn he's talking about, the retired police officer, the St. Louis audience will know that that was a retired police officer who had gone over to help protect a friend's business. Got an alarm going off at his pawn shop. The retired police officer said, "Well, I've got, you know, police training. I know. I'll go over there and take care of it." He gets over there and they gun him down. No, Black Lives Matter didn't show up for that either. And again, take money from police. You've got to ask the question, if you're going to defund and dismantle police, who are you going to call when you need help? I'm looking at a quote from, let me get his name right, the Fraternal Order of Police Vice President Joe Grimaldi. He says, "The percentage of population in the U.S. that supports defunding or eradicating police is less than 30%. That's based on a poll that was done back in June 8 and 10. Only 27% in favor of it. And yet everybody on the left continues to sound the same bell and beat on the same drum and echo the same words. It just, yeah, we want to do it. We want to do it." And his question, "What's it going to look like when I'm being robbed? Who's going to come? You're going to accuse me of using my privilege, call for police help?" And in Minneapolis, they continue to do that. They are very busy trying to pander to the mob again to give them what they want. So they're getting rid of their police. You know what they're having to do? There have been death threats against members of the Minneapolis City Council. They're not bringing cops in. They're hiring private security, something like $60,000 for I don't know what period of time they're going to have. I don't want any of them to get hurt. I do not. But, I mean, at least maybe it makes them realize, boy, this could be a bad idea. And you got Black Lives Matter chairman out of New York, Hawk Newsom. We had him on the air a lot last week. He said, I think what we need to do in this nation is treat crime like a health crisis. He said, the way we looked at heroin addiction, we look at this as a health crisis only when white people got involved. When black people were on drugs, they didn't really care. Maybe they didn't look at it as a health crisis. All right. But before you jump to a concern that it's only going to happen if white people are being targeted all the time, like the poor minority community is, why don't you define it as a health crisis now and get your leaders, your political leaders on the left, to agree, let's keep things going. We need police. Everyone would say, I don't want police, until I do. They're going to continue the best they can to tear it all down and get rid of them. And let me give you another view that's shared by someone else. And I'm giving a time to a lot of black voices today because I want you to make sure you hear their viewpoint. It's their opinion. You know, they say what they want, how they want it. Dr. Oscar Oldham, he's the president of the Houston Fraternal Order of Police, also at one time been a New York City police officer. Here's what he says the left and what they're trying to do.
Utopia is a nice concept that must be examined through the lens of reality. And here we have no reality of what's going on. I think that there should be a comm staff for political leaders to say, this is your district area. How many murders have happened? How many robberies have happened? How many assaults have happened? And what have you done? And if you haven't done anything, you need to be charged with negligence because you're not doing anything.
I think that's right to the point. I mean, if a police officer is on the scene of something and he just stands there or she stands there and watch the crime go down right in front of them and they're not doing anything, you're going to bring them up on some charges, aren't you? Generally. Of course, two things in play there. One, folks really don't want them to do anything. And two, the police officer has to worry, well, am I going to end up being charged because I'm actually trying to enforce the law and protect someone? Dr. Oldham again, the whole point of when you handcuff police to the extent they want to do and defund and keep pulling money from them, the question then is, what are the police going to do?
Then you put us out there with the proper tools to do certain things. No, don't do this. No, don't do that. Without any training, and you're changing the game in midstream on us. But in the meantime, it's the public that's suffering because when you hold us back and you have no laws, no rules, the citizens are paying for it. The businesses are paying for it. People getting robbed, murdered, crime rate, as stated earlier, is through the roof, over 400% increase in crime. Who's going to pay for this? The citizens? Who's going to pay for this? And now you see some of the Democrats are trying to backtrack and say, no, don't. We don't mean to fund the police. We don't mean take the money away because they see what's happening. I tell them, get rid of your security details and live in your utopia.
And he's referring to Minneapolis City Council. Get your loose security detail, live in your utopia. The rest of your citizens be damned. We told you last week about an area, a suburb in Minneapolis that they had decided we don't want to exercise our privilege to call police. So we will not call police into our neighborhood anymore. And what happened? Word got around. Soon they had 300 homeless living in a park in the midst of the neighborhood. The residents could no longer go into the park. They certainly didn't let their kids go on in the park by themselves. Drug deals are going down on a continuous basis in the park. They were told prostitution, probably some aggravated assault, probably rape. But they didn't want to call the police. As one of the residents said, I don't want to I don't want to be that judgmental. I don't want to call police. What kind of mindset gets you to that point? And New York City. I mentioned in news and commentary, they've had a 49% increase of officers since June saying, okay, I'm out of here. Since earlier this month, I'm out. I want to take retirement and go now. At the same time, de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, said, I got a plan for the New York Police Department. They got a $6 billion budget. We're going to take $1 billion from them. We're going to cut it by $1 billion. We're going to shift resources to young people, communities that would help address a lot of the underlying issues that we know are problems in our society. He said, but we're going to take that $6 billion. We're going to take from the police department. We're going to take $1 billion of it, and we'll work with that, which means fewer officers available, less money to spend on law enforcement, and we're going to spend it on these, what, hoops program or something? If violence breaks out on the basketball court, what are you going to do then? And the threats go back and forth continually inside the community. That's why many folks don't dare call and ask for help. You know what happened, I should say, Friday night in D.C.? You got Black Lives Matter activists shouting a political script at a Target store, reading it from a bullhorn and threatening anybody in the Target store. You call police, we'll come back. We'll come back. No one called police. Just let it go. Maybe they'll move along. I want to share a story with you of what happened in D.C., though, at Capitol Hill's Lincoln Park, as some were going to tear down a monument of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Wait till you hear how this went down. Wait till you hear who stepped up and protected that statue. Please, stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I know I told you that there have been attempts to deface, tear down a Ulysses S. Grant statue. Ulysses S. Grant, who led the Union Army against the Confederates, winning the Civil War and thereby freeing the slaves, and other generals that fought for the Union Army, their statues have been torn down and defaced because, what, these folks don't know their history or they don't care? I've said I don't think many of them care because they just want to get rid of everything that's part of our history. Well, here's what happened in Washington, D.C. There is, in Capitol Hill's Lincoln Park, a statue, a monument featuring Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, who said, we've got to go to war, we're going to hold this nation together, and we're not going to have slaves. They've been wanting to tear it down. Yes, they've been wanting to tear it down. The Antifa and others are rallying around wanting to tear it down. They started to work on it last week. They kept being held back by police and so forth. And then last Friday evening, they were going to try it again. And at this time, you had several black Americans showing up, posing as slaves, not to join the tearing down, but to tell them what this statue stood for. In fact, a guy that runs Capital Buddy Tours, a black man, got on a microphone, said, talking to black and white people that want to tear it down, y'all young people don't know S. You don't know what's going on here. You don't know your history. And then the demonstrators that were around at the Black Lives Matter activists trying to chant him and others down, and one of the reenactors dressed as a slave delivered Frederick Douglass' abridged version of his dedication speech. A black man in a New York City shirt started raising his voice to the crowd saying, my great-great-grandfather is that slave, pointing to the memorial. It features Abraham Lincoln with a slave beside him down on the ground, and Lincoln's raised his hand over, and the slave's chains are coming off, and he's going to stand and be free. But they don't care. They want to tear it down. And this guy said, that slave, that great-great-grandfather, that's my great-great-grandfather. You don't know your history. You want to tear this down? You don't know anything. And the response of those who want to tear down, oh, these people, they're telling us we have to respect our seniors. What, that remark coming from a teenage freckled white girl who had no idea what the history was, didn't care. Black community elders gathered around that statue with their reenactors said, you're not touching this statue. You're not going to do it. Another black man, like I said, gave a dedicated, or rather an abridged part of the speech that Frederick Douglass delivered when that was put up. And you know that monument, modeled by a freedman, paid for by local black residents and money from black Union veterans, and in some cases, freed slaves put their money together, whatever they had, to help put that monument there. They didn't care. They were going to tear it down, which is part of their whole idea of Antifa. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into this desire to destroy everything in our nation, everything of good and of value, anything of lasting and something that teaches us history. And when are we going to fight back and do it? Just like these folks did, these black community elders gathered around that statue, said, you will not touch it. Thank God for people like that. Thank God. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And cancel culture has no end. Now, and you have to remember that. My well-intentioned liberal friends, they always want to give an inch and then another inch and then another inch because, you know, they want to be liked and they want to be liked by the far-left progressives. They think they can be appeased, but you can never appease the mob. And this is the lesson that Americans have to learn. You can never appease the mob, not until the destruction of America is complete, because that's what they're after fundamentally. Again, Marxism runs deep in their ideology. We know that. They've said it out loud. This isn't conjecture. Antifa is based upon this sort of anarcho-fascist Marxist ideology. They really believe what they say, and they're out there on the streets violently acting it out.
Those are the words of Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Republican, Texas. And he's exactly right. He's not making up his statements about Antifa. The founders of Antifa admitted in an interview some time ago that we're trained Marxists. That's what we do. That's what we're going to do. Marxists are not for entrepreneurship. They're not for freedom. They're not for democracy or for control. Control. You don't do anything unless we get control of it. And then you do what we tell you to do, in the order we tell you to do it. But this country, no other nation in the world like this country, built on the principle of freedom, and every man and every woman granted that. Yes, Our history shows of the past, there was a time, based on your color, you might not get that freedom. And yes, there are those existing prejudices and bigotry existing now, even now. But the law clearly says, no, everyone is to be treated fairly. Women didn't have the right to vote either for a long time. Remember, you have to remember that. Antifa, though, wants to dig into everything that exists as a sore on this nation, a scar, and reopen it, expose it, let it ooze, let everybody see it and look at it. Why would they do that? Well, because they can create more hate and anger. That's exactly what they're after. When you get members of the left out of Antifa riled up and they come in and do their thing, well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're going to spark the other side. They want to blame Donald Trump for a wolf whistle. Their very actions encourage the far right to come in as the Nazi stormtroopers they often represent. Neither side is right. Neither side is doing what's good for this nation, for you, your family. And what can we do to just get more pictures of how bad we are? Well, we can go on, tear down all these statues, everything that represents any part of this country. And so then they moved forward to start attacking monuments, and that was just a beginning. Dan Crenshaw again.
Well, we always knew that this would never stop with what is an honest and frankly a good debate to have about Confederate statues. I think we should have that debate. But now it's gone to George Washington. Now it's gone to Grant. Now it's gone to Abraham Lincoln. It's burning the flag. It's
Teddy
tearing
Roosevelt.
Down our national anthem, Teddy Roosevelt. It's getting rid of the Pledge of Allegiance and the national anthem. They want to erase the very things that unite us as Americans and the very things that stand for equality and justice and freedom.
Because if you erase it and it disappears, you give a generation to... maybe not even past two. They totally forget it. They don't know it. I got a couple grandsons. I was talking to them the other day. Well, I take it back. I'd say I'm going to wait for another time. They were born in 2006. I want to know, what do they know about 2001? 9/11. What do they really know? Now, my age of being 13 at the time, I knew about Pearl Harbor. I mean, it was taught in the schools, and I'd heard about it. It was, and that was still, you know, we were, 20 years from that point, basically. 20 plus at my age at that point. And we didn't have social media and everything, but people talked about it as part of the history, and it was pointed out, and you saw memorials, and you saw honoring and so forth. But when you start tearing down these monuments, there goes your history. And even if it's a part of the history that might be shameful and you don't like it, you got to remember it. You got to remember it, and you got to make sure. If you don't like it at that particular place, then move. But I said again and previously, the Holocaust Museum, can you imagine anything that's more horrific? It is wrong for blacks to be brought over and traded like cattle and slaves. That is absolutely wrong. And there was genocide within them, but a lot of that genocide actually happened in Africa before they came here. But the Jews and the genocide against them, 6 million documented. You don't want to know about that? It's ugly to look at. You don't want to see it, but you're not going to learn anything unless you do see it. And I mentioned in the previous segment this effort to tear down, in D.C.'s Capitol Hill's Lincoln Park, to tear down the statue of the Emancipation Proclamation, Abraham Lincoln with one hand above a slave, freeing him. And Black Lives Matter and others, Antifa, wanted to come in and destroy it and tear it down. And what ended up chasing them away at that point? Local black residents, black community elders came in and shamed them. Good. Doesn't mean they won't try again. And I'll bet those interested in tearing it down, they don't know anything about the history other than it had something to do with slavery. Tear it down. It had to do with slavery and ending slavery, but you still want to tear it down. It had to do with a statue of Lincoln with his slave modeled by a freedman, a freedman from the slavery time. It was paid for by local black residents, black Union veterans, dedicated by Frederick Douglass. Even money from former slaves came forward. The idea is tear it down. And Crenshaw says, again, it was always going to happen like that. And then the socialist push that goes with it, because you destroy all that, then you open the door for your next stage.
This was always part of the plan. It has been for decades, actually. And it started well back into when Marxism made its way into the United States in the 60s. And they're always looking to take advantage of some kind of situation to make people think that their country is evil so that they can justify their own Marxist revolution. That is what's happening here. And you can't be blind to that. See, the whole political correctness debate, that was always just some kind of nice feeling platform from which to launch this thing, which is essentially a purge of American ideals and the things that bring us together as Americans.
To bring us together. If it's anything that might unite us, they want to destroy it, get rid of it. That's the whole value. That's, as he said, is their aim. As you pointed out, the whole political correctness thing, that was just a launching pad. If you keep pushing people back, well, you can't say that. That offended me. Oh, I'm truly sorry. And then it reaches the point where you can't just not say something, which in many cases maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you've said things in the past. Maybe you do need to reconsider and reevaluate. I mean, if you're saying it intentionally to offend someone, definitely stop it. But sometimes, by lack of knowledge and understanding, you do it. But then the other part of that becomes, you can't just apologize. You got to stand with us, and you got to denounce. You got to denounce totally what you did and everyone else. You got to claim, like for whites, you're existing on white privilege. That's the only reason you're here. You got Hollywood actors and actresses saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm born white." Did you not hear the other day when I played Black Entertainment founder Robert Johnson, the nation's first black billionaire, when he said, "This silly, you got white people out there saying, 'I'm so sorry I was born white.'" He said, "You don't hear any black person saying, 'I'm sorry I was born black.'" And we had the worst lot of any American. But they want to make you feel guilty. And if you don't do it, you'll be labeled. You'll be called out. You will be. And they'll continue to run around the nation and ripping down everything of value. Statues, U.S. flag, Mount Rushmore maybe before it's over with. Trying anyway. U.S. flag. Churches. Synagogues. Congressman Crenshaw of Texas says we need to start fighting back.
I hope our local officials start to actually do that and get police out there and say, "You're not going to do this anymore." It's also up to each one of us. Okay, tell corporate CEOs, stop giving in. Stop letting them erase everything about us. It's telling your teachers, start teaching why America is actually good. Stop teaching the counter-argument to America, to our kids. They're growing up hating this country. And this election in 2020 is quickly becoming about that. There's one party that will teach your kids to love America, and there's one party that won't stand up for it.
Period. Absolutely true. And, of course, when it comes to going after statues, they can justify anything they want. One now under target is a statue of John Wayne in Orange County Airport. I don't know if you've seen that statue. I have, and I got to tell you, that's the only time I ever took a picture of me with a statue. What's with John Wayne? Why are they going after John Wayne? Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you. in the way you look tonight.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If you ever fly into Orange County Airport, California, in the Thomas F. Riley Terminal on the arrival level, there's a 9-foot statue, a bronze statue of John Wayne. Now, many young might not know who it is. Hopefully, others will tell them. But many do know who John Wayne is and what he did, from the movies, of course. That statue was created at a foundry in Dublin, Texas, and then dedicated to Orange County in 1982 and then placed into the airport. Well, now there's a push underway to, by the way, the statue, John's kind of standing there, got his left hand kind of out in front of him, kind of like he's got one of those rumbling walks, you know, pilgrim smile when you say that, one hand just above the holster on his right hip. Yeah, I'm a John Wayne fan, always have been. Does John Wayne have some flaws in his history in the past? Yes, as most everyone does. Martin Luther King Jr. had a lot of flaws too. Should we destroy every statue of him because of flaws and things that did surface around him that some were true, some not, but who cares nowadays? We don't really care about the facts. We don't like someone or something, tear it down. So what's happening in California with John Wayne? Well, California Democrats are demanding the airport itself, which is called John Wayne Airport, be renamed and every likeness of him taken apart. They first came up with this back in 1979, and now it's all back in play again because of this Antifa ruin and destroy everything. John Wayne in a 1971 interview said, and I'm going to tell you what he said is disturbing. In 71, not a lot of folks paid attention to it unless you were black, and I'm sure then it hit you immediately. An interview he did with Playboy. Yes, they do have articles in Playboy. Yeah, you can always say, I got it for the article. Yeah, come on. What John Wayne said is, I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility. I don't believe in giving authority and positions of leadership and judgment to irresponsible people. Another point in the interview, he said, I don't feel guilty about the fact that 5 or 10 generations ago, these people were slaves. Every one of those statements is disgusting on every level. Anyone who makes a disgusting, offensive statement now, they can quickly apologize and everything's forgiven by the left, if it's coming from that side. Anyone associated with conservative and that kind of side, well, you don't get to make it. Well, he's been dead for, what, 50-plus years or something like that number. Yeah, died in 1979. He can't now say, look, I spoke out of a time. It was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. Would it make a difference to some to make an apology now? I mean, we allow it from the left for the others, but would they do it in this case? You're going to be held to words you said 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Kids in particular, stuff they're putting on their internet services down in the future, they may be in some high position and they're going to have to go down in flames because of something they did, which is probably wrong now, but they did it anyway. But the idea is just purge everything. Well, let me give you something really uplifting. There's a performance of the national anthem that took place at the LA Galaxy and Sounders game. This is a child of Indonesian descent, but she sings like an American born here because she loves American, telling her voice, and she is 7 years old. Listen.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the pale And the rocket's a red balloon. The bomb is bursting in air-proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave o'er the land of the free and the home
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.